Do you know what I do to get ready? Take an ice bath.
An ice bath?
I do.
How long?
It's my new thing since 2024. I have to do it 24 days a month, each month. Mm-hmm. And I this morning was 4.5 minutes. But I generally try to do 3 minutes. But sometimes I just get lost in my thoughts.
Really? In the ice bath?
In the ice bath.
Your mind wanders. Yes. That's wild.
Yeah.
For me, I would be all about what was going on in the ice bath. That would wake me up suddenly, and I wouldn't be able to think about anything else. But that's incredible.
It's challenging. Mm. The challenging part is getting in, and then worse than getting in is getting out. I know that sounds ridiculous, but just moving to get out takes a lot of effort.
For me, anything in the morning takes a lot of effort. So.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our favorite part of the week. It's time to listen to Sounds of Health, where we share the stories, people, and resources that help others to improve their physical, emotional, and financial well-being. Whether you consider yourself a health enthusiast, a wellness warrior, or if you're simply looking for information, guidance, or inspiration, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Dave McNiven, and today I'm excited to welcome our guest, Heidi Langen. Heidi is a certified AFAA group fitness personal training coach, an RRCA certified distance running coach, water rower certified, TRX certified, USATF master runner, and Lululemon running ambassador. Heidi's also the owner and founder of H4 Fitness, where she's trained hundreds of adults and children in endurance strength training, speed and agility, and balance. She's the head coach at Orange Theory Fitness in New Haven, Connecticut, and head coach for the St. Joe's Boys and Girls Cross Country Team. Wow, that's a lot. Where do you find the time to do anything else?
Just don't.
You don't? Okay. So that's everything.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We're so excited to have
you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is great. There's a lot for us to talk about because I've been kind of a runner for part of my life. I don't consider myself a runner, but I've participated in a bunch of races. And I used to run a couple of the team programs. I used to work for the Michael J. Fox Foundation when I was living in New York. And very early on, we had a team in the New York City Marathon, you know, before a lot of the boom of all the nonprofits. And then I worked for the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp when I came here to Connecticut, ran a team program there as well. So we used to do cycling events and running events. And I've run a few myself. I'm curious, what's your favorite race?
So first of all, I wanted to say, if you run, you are a runner.
Okay.
So don't say you're not a runner.
Okay, fair enough.
Funnily enough, I ran the New York Marathon with Hole in the Wall Gang.
You did?
That was my first one.
What year was that? Do you remember?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
2015, 2016.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Something like that.
It's close to when I was there. I can't remember.
My favorite marathon, was that the question?
Yes.
So I've done four, and I've loved all four for very different reasons.
Yeah.
So New York, obviously, because that was my first.
Okay.
DC, the Marine Corps is, I mean, you're running next to paraplegics and men in full uniforms.
Yeah, it's powerful.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Very powerful, yeah. Very emotional. And I Boston qualified in that race. So obviously that's near and dear to me.
That's amazing.
Boston, obviously, because it was Boston.
Yeah.
And then when I ran London, I did it with my sisters, and obviously it's my hometown. So that was a lot. That was great.
So each one of them holds a special place in your heart.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. I honestly never ran a marathon. I've done half marathons. I've done Ragnar relay races.
Okay.
But I worked the New York City Marathon for our teams and the Boston Marathon for many years. And those days were some of my favorite days because we felt like we were running a marathon because we were doing so much to support our runners and doing the before and the after. And I used to go up and down the course. Like I would get on subways to meet in different locations just to take pictures and to be there organizing the cheer groups. But those events, they're just so inspiring.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they give you that energy. It's really palpable.
The energy that you get from the crowd is second to none.
Yeah.
So thank you for being part of the crowd.
Absolutely.
It helps.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So tell me a little bit about your background. So you're originally from England, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get started? You know, what brought you to where you are today?
I feel like I came out of the womb running.
Okay.
I've run as long as I can remember back. Ran in school.
That must have been hard for your parents.
Yeah. Ran in school, ran in college. I lost my mom at an early age.
Oh, I'm sorry
to
hear that.
So I feel like running probably saved my life.
Okay.
I ran right up until I came to this country, and then I kind of got into dancing a little bit. I always kept up the running recreationally, but didn't really get really back into racing it until Sandy Hook happened, and I did that race for charity, and I was like, oh, I remember that joy of racing came back.
Yeah.
So that's when I started racing again.
Oh, that's great. Well, I do remember when Sandy Hook happened, I was working at Hole in the Wall during that time, and I do remember a number of events that came up to support everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And I have pictures from our family. We were doing it remotely. So
okay.
We were tracking what we were doing. So we got a group of people in Hamden together. We did the trail, and we were tracking and being a part of it still. But I don't think I participated in an actual event.
Yeah, the first one was in Hartford. It was
okay.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the emotions.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then that's you know, a lot of what I did. I saw people sometimes coming to run or cycle for the first time because they were attached to the cause. And
yes.
And it is amazing because there's an extra level of emotion and mental health that comes into play with
for
those
sure.
events.
For sure. It was healing to a lot of people as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially when I was at the Michael J. Fox Foundation, I don't think people realize, but nobody really talked about Parkinson's before he came out and said that I have Parkinson's. So there was a whole community full of people that just felt like their voices were never heard. And then suddenly now they can be heard, and the team aspect, that whole idea of fundraising for the organization really empowered people to be a part of, you know, hopefully finding a cure eventually.
Yeah. Running races is a great platform to raise money and
yeah.
build awareness to several different causes. You generally, when I run, I try and raise money for mental health, brain
right.
institution, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you ran all throughout your high school and college in England. They don't call it college in England, right? Is it?
Uni and college.
Okay. Yeah, they do. Okay. I wasn't sure. I know it's like secondary school or something
like
that.
We have secondary school, primary school.
Okay. It's different than
here.
It
is different.
Okay.
It is different.
Gotcha. So you did that, and then you didn't get back into it until, you know, I mean, fairly recently with Sandy.
Yeah. I mean, I had my son. And then I used to run a lot with him down on the trails, but I didn't get back yeah. into racing. That was...
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, I've always run from mental aspect and just health, yeah. general exercise. I love the feeling of running just to clear your mind, sort things out.
Yeah.
But the whole racing aspect I didn't get back into
okay.
until then.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you started training towards something at that point?
I don't remember what I did next after that race. I probably just a 5K, local 5K. And, you know, I was older and
yeah.
still had it kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I'm competitive.
Yeah.
It is what it is. My friends will laugh at me when I tell them that. So, you know, to still be good at it is to still have that gift.
Yeah.
I'm not going to waste it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm probably the slowest runner on the face of the planet.
It's okay.
So yeah, I get it done,
yeah.
but I do it very slowly.
A 14 minute mile is just as fast, just as far as a 6 minute mile.
Oh, you're just being nice. No. So what brought you from England to the States?
Grass is always greener.
Yeah.
Boredom.
Okay.
The town that I lived in just didn't have any opportunities at the time. And you know, as I mentioned, I had lost my mom. So mentally, yeah. I wasn't really in a good place. And I just needed more, just a different, something to a change.
Yeah.
And then I came over as a nanny.
Okay.
I met an amazing family in Avon, Connecticut, and stayed with them. And then just everything just trickled effect. And I didn't want to go back.
That's great. Do you still have family there?
Oh, for sure. My whole family's there. Yeah.
Okay.
We try and go back every year or they come here.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. But this is home now.
This is home.
Okay.
For right now.
So how did you go from being a nanny to all of the things that you're doing now?
So, you know, I've always been into fitness. When I was nannying, I started choreographing children into dance. I was also very much into dance.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another, I guess.
Okay.
The dancing just switched to more running, and then the balance changed.
So when you say you were choreographing, were you teaching dance?
Yes.
And so they were doing competitions that you were choreographing, or was
no,
it shows?
Just, it was generally shows. And then okay. I was doing, like I worked for Kiss 95.1, whatever it was at the time.
Right, yeah.
Doing like bar mitzvahs and okay. you know, things like that.
Yeah.
We did different nightclubs. I did a lot of dancing in clubs.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So then what came first? Was it this, company that you own and founded, or was it Orange Theory, or okay. was it at the same
time? Good question. So
yeah.
I was working in a retail position for like 17 years. And one day they decided to close. And it was a really good position. I was the yeah. buyer and manager. And I had this child, this young toddler. And it was like, what am I going to do now? So it was just a really pivotal point in my life where, you know, they always say, do what you love and love what you do. And I was like, well, what do I love doing? And it was like running. Okay, so how am I going to make a business out of running? And that summer, I started H4 Fitness. We turned 10 years ago this year, or last year. And I started with a summer camp, a children's running summer camp, which was immensely successful. Then I started a couch to 5K, where I just took a bunch of amazing ladies from the town I lived in at the time and trained them to run a 5K. And then Orange Theory in Shelton reached out to me. They were opening this studio called Orange Theory. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah.
And they asked me, they said that they had heard of me. Could I come in and maybe coach? And that's how it started. I am not a gym goer. I don't love the gym. However, I loved Orange Theory, and I loved the science, the results. Like, it works. People aren't just going to the gym and mindlessly walking on a treadmill,
right,
being yeah. too concerned what they look like, taking selfies. It, you know, it was actual physical work. You left after an hour
yeah.
and you got the results. I fell in love with
you
it.
You said you were a competitive person by nature, yeah. right? So you're yes. competing with yourself when you're yes. at Orange Theory.
Yes. And I love seeing people achieve what they think that they can't achieve.
Yeah.
So that to me in the coaching aspect was, I just fell in love with the whole thing. The actual right. workout, the coaching of the workout, the whole kit and caboodle.
Gotcha.
The following year, Race for Chase started, which going back to Sandy Hook,
yeah.
that's one of the parents who started that foundation after her child, Chase Kowalski, sadly, was one of the children.
Right.
He had run a triathlon, so they started Race for Chase, and I was the head coach for that in Trumbull.
That's awesome.
So, like, one thing led after another, these doors kept opening, and all of a sudden, I have all these people running.
yeah.
So, it just started from there.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you kind of did it simultaneously. You're yep. you're being a coach at the gym. And then you were hired for the St. Joe's team as well around
yeah.
that time?
Yeah, I mean, everything grew very organically.
Yeah.
St. Joe's also came. I started with the track team as an assistant.
Yeah.
And then an opening came up for cross country, so they offered that to me. And like I said, one thing, every door just opened. I knew it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I was in the right place.
That's great.
Doing what I love, right. loving what I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better than that.
No. Nothing. Yeah.
So going back to the first program that you had, the summer camp.
Yes.
So what age group were you working with there?
8 to 13.
Okay. And how did you come up with whatever the thing would be? Like, what was the curriculum that okay. you were doing?
So with Roadrunners of America, yeah. which is the running certification that I have, they do have a program called Kids Run America. And I got the general premise of the plan through them. And then they do it. They touch a little bit on nutrition. They touch a little bit on, you know, the mental aspect of it. And they have ideas for programs. There's a lot of research, taking what I already knew and putting it together.
Gotcha. Okay. So that actually brings me back to, I know in our introduction, there were a lot of initials in what we were describing what you do. Those are all certifications, correct? Yes. Okay. So what led you to want to pursue those certifications?
I think the first certification I got was Zumba.
Oh, yeah.
Notice how I left that out of there.
You did leave that out.
Yeah. And that was the whole dancing exercise, right?
Was it more of a fad? Is that why? Or is so that
when
still
I, when
popular?
I first started Zumba, it was before it became a cult.
Okay.
Before all of the wristbands and the things coming out. And Zumba is still around. Zumba, I will say, is a phenomenal way to exercise.
And I'm sure.
Fit. Phenomenal. Yeah. So anyone out there who loves dancing, try a Zumba class. That was probably the start. And then what came next? The road running.
Okay.
I wanted that.
Yeah.
It's not like I needed it to start the program, but I wanted it to be official. I just didn't want to be any mojo coming off that didn't look like they knew what they were doing. So, like, obviously I know how to run, but I just needed all the tools in my tool belt. You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so I think one thing led after another. I always want to continue educating and learning. You know, fitness, it grows like everything else. You want to keep up with the trends. You want to keep up with the science.
Yeah.
It's an ever-changing, just like anything else. And so I don't ever want to get stagnant in my craft.
Right.
I want to keep up to date with everything, just so that I can educate people that I'm training.
Gotcha. And in that first program, that summer camp, the kids that were coming to you, did you see that it was the kids that were really interested in this program, or was it the parents that was signing them up for it? Well, who was it being driven by?
That's a good question. Probably the parents, I would say. Probably the parents. I had a lot of friends that also had kids, so it was some of the kids' friends' kids.
Sure,
I made it very accessible because it was my first time, both economically and location-wise. There was definitely a gap of summer camps at the time, so I filled that void.
Right.
So, and then a lot of word of mouth. Like the following year, the town wanted me to do a program. So I kind of graduated. It's funny, the first year I did it, the town said, I don't really think there's an interest in running. And then the second year they asked me to do a program.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because when I think about running as a kid, when we would be playing sports, like the times when we ran, it was when we were being punished for something. Go run a lap. You know, you're not working hard enough. Go run. You know, it was always a negative. Now with my kids, you know, running becomes a part of conditioning and it's become much more of a focus. And I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, I wish you guys would get into track and field and into running and, you know, be working on those things because that's going to feed whatever sport you're interested in, whatever you're trying to pursue.
Honestly, that's sort of the message that I like to give to my St. Joe teens. There's so much pressure on kids these days, especially that teenage group. Social media, just society in general.
Yeah.
So teaching them how to learn to run, not just because that this is our sport and we're in a competition and we want to beat everybody,
but you're
going to take this running as a lifelong thing to for your release. Like this is how you're going to get rid of the stress and anxiety and depression and just use this tool instead of sitting at home behind your computer, you know, mindlessly tapping, looking for a way out, go for a run.
Yeah.
Go for a walk and then turn it into a run.
Right.
As well as like getting outside and getting the fresh air. Obviously you can do it on a treadmill if you can't get outside, but the whole thing is incumbent. You know, it's the whole kit and caboodle.
Right. Now with your business today, what are you focused on? Like who are your clients that you're attracting?
So I have a couple different buckets I fill right now. I have some Zoom clients that I do personal training with. I have a couple of clients that I do running coaching online.
Okay.
Some of them I just write a plan. They don't want to see me. They don't want to run with me. But they want that guidance, like how many miles am I doing? At what pace am I doing?
Right.
And then I have 15 people right now that we're training for Providence Marathon.
That's fantastic.
Eight of them are doing the full and the others are doing the half. I have to laugh because I think we started with three full marathon, and gradually as the training, they've like, you know, I've run this far, I might as well do the full.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm so proud of them.
Yeah.
So proud of them. So May the 5th, that's their race day.
That's great. And you haven't done that one before, right? So this is new for you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Providence is a great city, so I'm sure it's a lot of fun.
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it will be.
As long as they all cross that finish line, I'll be happy.
What do you see as the big factors in somebody improving their running? You know, like what are people coming to you to work on? Are they looking to get faster? Are they looking to just get their endurance up?
A little bit of everything. Yeah. I have a little bit of everything. Some people want to PR. Mm-hmm. They want to beat their last race time.
Sure.
Some people just want to start running and don't know where to start.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest bucket, is they just want to start running and they don't know. A lot of people will go out too fast, too much, and then they get injured.
Yeah.
And then it side rails them, and then they kind of lose their mojo.
Right.
And then obviously I have people who are training for a certain distance and they want to get there.
Okay. So it's all kinds of
things. It's all kinds.
Okay. Yeah. So they come to you with what their goal is or what their questions are, and you design it around that?
Yes.
Okay. So is your business that you have, is it personal to the individual that's coming to you, and how are they finding you?
They can find me. I used to have like a web page. Most people these days find me on Instagram.
Instagram. Okay. Yeah.
It's word of mouth. It's Instagram. It's Facebook.
Gotcha.
It's, you know, it's H4. If you type in H4 Fitness, I usually come right up.
Okay.
People usually find me that way. Gotcha. Or there is a lot of word of mouth. Obviously, at Orange Theory, people get to know me.
Sure. Yeah. And how often are you at Orange Theory?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I actually tell most of my running clients to do Orange Theory because most runners will not strength train or resistance train.
Right.
And that is a key factor in a long running career.
Right.
You've got to keep the bones healthy, the muscles healthy.
Yeah. Not to mention it takes up less time than putting in the actual miles.
Mm-hmm.
That was always the tough thing for me, as I was balancing having kids and having a job and all of these things. Trying to find the time to go and do the distance running was very difficult.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It is, especially for half and full marathon training, finding that time.
Yeah.
It is challenging. But you have to prioritize it, you know?
So for sure.
Maybe you're not going to go out one night with your friends.
Yeah.
Or some things have to be sacrificed. You just have to weigh it out. Like, is running a marathon really your goal? And if it is, you need to make the adjustments.
Yeah, for sure. I've been working toward a quarter marathon.
Okay.
I had run it. It's the West Hartford quarter marathon.
That.
Have
yeah.
you? So
yeah.
That's a great race.
Yeah.
Last year we did it and I trained a little bit for it, but then I felt strong when I did it and my time was decent for me. And then we signed up for it. A friend of mine and I, who did it last year, we signed up for it again and I've been working toward it. And now I just found out I can't run it.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So, and the reason is kids. We have two boys and they're on two separate baseball teams at Notre Dame. And they have baseball games at the same exact time on opposite ends of the state. And there's just no way logistically for me to do it.
Yeah.
So my goal is to identify what my next race is going to be and continue the work.
For sure.
Yeah. Because I really do want to get to back to running and doing more.
There's a 10K in Middletown.
Is there?
In a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll get the date from you and take a look at
all
it,
right.
See if I can fit it in.
You always could jump on one of the races that I'm doing.
I have
a couple in June that I'm doing. And then, of course, the New Haven road race.
Okay.
Which is the half marathon.
Yes. I actually have never run New Haven before. I've gone to it and supported other people, but I've never done it myself.
Heidi, I remember you did really well last year.
Last year was the hottest year ever.
Mm.
So this year, because I'm a master runner, I have to do the 20K.
Yeah.
And instead of the half.
Oh, yeah.
Just the USA track and field standards.
Gotcha. So you are competing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's awesome. Are there races that you have in your mind, like as a goal that you really want to do?
There's a lot. There's
there
several.
Are. Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, a marathon runner wants to do the majors. And I did try to get into Chicago this year. I didn't get in.
Oh, yeah.
And that was going to be like, if I get into Chicago, I'm going to continue to do the majors. I didn't get in, so I'm not sure. But after every marathon, I swear I'm never going to do another one.
Yeah.
It's like childbirth. You say you're never going to do it, and then, whoops, signed up for another one.
Right.
I wasn't going to do this, but my team, it's like, how can I get my team to do it if I'm not going to do it?
Yeah.
I'm very hands-on, obviously. Yeah. Even with my cross-country kids, I run with them.
Now, is there one marathon that you've done that has been the most challenging?
New York was pretty challenging. I mean, Boston was very challenging because it was tipping down with rain.
Oh, wow.
Like heaving with rain, freezing rain.
Oh, it was windy. Miserable.
It was miserable. It was.
And Heartbreak Hill is not easy.
I mean, every hill I got to, I was like, is this Heartbreak Hill? Is this Heartbreak Hill?
Right.
If you train in Connecticut, you're pretty much
that
used to hills.
Yeah, so that is true.
I didn't really find it that heartbreaking.
Gotcha.
The whole thing was pretty heartbreaking, to be honest.
Well, in freezing rain, it really is miserable.
Yeah. I would, in a perfect world, I would like to Boston qualify in Providence so that I can redeem myself in
Boston.
Okay,
great. So you do want to do Boston again?
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great day. I love that day in Boston.
Yeah. You just can't count on the weather.
No, you can't. No. In any of these races, you really can't.
I know.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. That's great. So, and then how about for your company? Do you have goals for that? Are you going to continue as you are, or are you setting certain benchmarks or goals that you're trying to get to?
I've kind of put a period on in-home clients, and will probably focus more on just the running aspect.
Okay.
Orange Theory has me pretty busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to give that 110%, obviously. And I want to give running 110%. So there's not that many hours left in between.
So when you say focusing on the running, so that's like group running classes?
Group running or individual. But less one-on-one strength training classes.
Gotcha.
Personal training. One-on-one personal training.
Right.
The clients that I have now, I won't let go of, but I'm not going to take any new ones there.
That makes sense.
Just running.
And then how about, what is the age range in your clients?
Oh, children to old, as old as you want to be.
Really?
To run. Yep.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people feel like once they get past a certain age or once certain things start to break down, that running's done for them. Do you find that to be the case?
I'm not going to mention any names, but I have a client. She is, I'm not going to say her age, but she's older.
Yeah.
Quite older.
Okay.
And she's a force. She'll run laps around most people a quarter of her age.
Yeah.
And I'll give her a training plan. She does every second of it. Her strength training plan, every second of it. Like, she is a beast. So there's no cap. If you have the mind to do something, you're going to do it.
Right. Yeah. That's been my experience as well.
Yeah.
But I do think there are a lot of people who think it's just never going to happen.
Yeah. You know, you get, oh, my knees, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if you start strength training and resistance training, you're going to get there.
Yeah.
Your knees, you can't say, I can't run because of my knees. It's not your knees. Running's going to strengthen your knees.
Right.
It's probably your gait or your form or your sneakers. Come see me. I'll help you.
Well, there you go. So that's the reason to come and see you, right?
Give me a call.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's great.
I get asked that every day. What sneakers should I get?
That's the biggest question I think that I have with my friends about running.
Yeah.
And everyone's curious when you get new sneakers.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, what are those sneakers?
Do those make you run faster?
Yeah.
So I always say the brighter the color shoe, the faster you're going to
That's right.
Oh, then that's exactly why I'm slow, because mine are always black or white.
There it is.
Yeah.
So I can usually tell what sneaker I can recommend by watching you run.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I used to wear Brooks religiously.
Okay.
And then at a certain point, for some reason, I don't know if they changed the design, they weren't really working for me, and I just started using Hokas.
Okay.
And I'm comfortable in them, if nothing else. So, yeah.
I have like three different companies on rotation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll talk, definitely. Especially as I get back into more mileage. Okay.
We get some brand recognition on the show, too, so we get some free product.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, we start mentioning these brands, maybe they'll come to us.
Yeah, Hoka, come on, let's get on the podcast.
Exactly. What do you think for somebody just starting out is the best thing? Like, how do you get started?
Put your shoes on and get out the door.
It's that easy, huh?
Yeah. Maybe start with a walk run. Walk a little bit, run a little bit. Like I said a second ago, the worst mistake you can do is too much too soon.
Yeah.
Got to ease into it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important, you know, to walk before you run.
Yeah. Literally. Right.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Gotcha. Now, you also have a family. You mentioned your son, right? Mm-hmm. And then I know in your bio, you mentioned a couple of dogs. Mm-hmm. So how are you balancing family life with all of the things you're doing in your professional life?
Do you have a teenager?
I have two teenagers.
Okay. Well, that's again why I need to run.
For mental health.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So he used to run with me, but now he's too cool to do that,
of course.
Obviously. Yeah. So, but he's 17, so I don't see that much of him.
Yeah.
So that's not really an issue anymore. And as for the dogs, I bring them with me.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, I have two dogs as well, and they're both awful walkers. My fault, of course. We haven't trained them properly. But we do have a puppy, so he has some potential maybe. But how do you run with them? Do you use one of those like waist belts?
I do.
You do?
So I have a Vishla.
Okay.
And if anyone listening to this has a Vishla, you'll know how much exercise they need.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's done most of the marathon training with us.
Wow. Yep. That's amazing.
The other one is a rescue, and she's a little bit of a diva, so long distance is not her thing.
So you must have them trained pretty well to do that, though. Vishla's a mid-sized dog, right? Like 60 pounds?
I guess they're just used to it.
Gotcha.
It's like, okay. I mean, the Vishla knows now every Sunday when I get up, we're going for a run. And if he doesn't come with me, he's a disaster.
Wow.
Yeah, he's pretty
upset.
See,
I know people like that, but I didn't know dogs like that.
Oh, yeah.
Your dogs are your coach.
Facts. Yeah, very often he's running me, for sure.
That's amazing.
For sure.
Now, are you doing anything besides running to, you know, that you need to do for your own personal health journey?
Absolutely. I mean, I take Orange Theory classes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And that helps with the strength training. And
did it this morning.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I know you were talking to Jason before we started the podcast about the ice bath.
Yep, I do a daily ice plunge. I actually don't do it every day. I do it 24 days of the month.
Okay.
So that was my New Year's resolution for 2024. I was going to do 24 days of the month. So every morning I get up and take an ice bath outside.
Interesting. So do you plan it out so you don't, so it's only 24 days each month? Like, are you happy those days off when you don't have to get in there?
Some days I'll do it anyway.
Okay.
And some days, yes, I'm happy. Like if it's teeming with rain, I'm like, ooh, this is a day off.
Yeah.
Some days in the beginning, it was really challenging. You know, it's 20 degrees outside. The water has covered in ice on the top. You've got to crack the ice to get in. But then I kind of crave it.
Yeah.
It's very mental. But one of the reasons I'm doing it is for the mental health benefits.
Yeah. So talk about that. What does it do for your mental health?
Boosts something inside you.
Yeah.
I'll just, anything that tells me that's going to give me better mental health, I'll do it.
Gotcha.
And of course, you know, it helps with the muscles and the...
It does. The inflammation.
Onset of thinking.
Yes.
So if you're going to do it after you work out, you want to wait like 4 hours.
Okay.
So that it doesn't ruin those muscle gains. But for soreness, you can do it right after. So if I'm running, I'll do it right after. But if I take like an Orange Theory class, I'll wait and then I'll do it in the afternoon.
Okay. So it's not like you're waking up in the morning and doing it first thing in the morning.
Most mornings it is.
Oh, okay. It is. Okay.
It's so much harder to do it in the middle of the day.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
So much harder.
You have to be kind of groggy and not fully awake to get yourself to do that.
Exactly.
And this is outside. You're going outside.
It's outside on my porch. Yeah.
Gotcha. So my wife did actually just buy me one.
Okay.
It's one of those cheap models. It's
great.
Like, it wasn't very expensive.
It's okay.
It's an inflatable bucket. And I'm hoping to start doing it. I know in the wintertime, it's obviously you don't need ice. It's already cold.
Correct.
But now as we're getting into the summer months, are you planning on like going out and getting bags of ice every day?
So I have these giant ice cube maker things
that
I would probably use.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. I've never done it in the summer yet. So, you know, one day at a time. Yeah. I just can't wait to hear what my neighbors are thinking.
Yeah. Are you letting out any exasperation as you get into the tub?
I mean, I live in like townhouses, yeah. So I know that some of them can see me.
Okay. Gotcha. I have a friend who's been doing it religiously too, yeah. And he swears by it. He says it's one of the best things. I did the there's a place we had the owner of NOLA Wellness on in one of our episodes, and they have a cryo machine. It's the electric cryo machine, and I did that, and I really liked it. I mean, 3 minutes, but it was really,
that's all you need.
I felt great, yeah. You know, afterwards.
I had a really bad car accident a couple of years ago, and I've had some severe pain in my neck. I feel a lot better.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to see how that goes. We'll see if I can do it.
You can do it. Yeah. It's all mental.
Yeah.
You need to take pictures, Dave. So we have evidence of you.
No, there will be no pictures, Jason. Absolutely not. At least not until I get into great shape. So anything else that you're doing, any other practices that you have that help you to maintain your health?
I don't think so. Between Orange Theory, running, the ice bath, good friends, good laughs.
Always important.
Always important.
So important.
Yeah. There's, you know, try and stay off my phone.
Yeah.
Get sucked into that.
Right. Now, the teenagers that you're working with, mm-hmm. you did mention it, even in your bio, like helping teenagers with mental health, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, you brought up the phone. Most teens are attached to their phones, mm-hmm. right? And it's hard to get them out of that. What are you finding are the biggest challenges for teenagers these days, and how are you helping them to get the tools they need to combat it?
Just chatting with them, trying to teach them to get out, be active, exercise. Try to lay the foundation of exercise now while they're young, so it's kind of implemented now that they can take it from now until life. It's hard. There's so much pressure from peers, and I mean, everything they do, even in school, is all on a screen. So from beginning of the day, all through the day, and then when they get home, they're on a screen.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I take away the screen from my kid. Mm-hmm. Not so much now because
not easy once he's 17.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But I used to, when I could, I would take it away and like go outside, go do something. It's very challenging. There's, you know, and as a parent, you're not really in control of what they're looking at.
Right.
It's a lot, even on magazines, like the models on the pictures don't even look like the models in the pictures in real life.
That's
true. It's all airbrushed. It's all fake.
Right.
Most of everything you see is fake.
Yeah. Well, everything's going to be AI soon anyway.
Oh my God. So. Don't get me there. That's so scary.
It is.
That's very scary. So just trying to teach them to get out, be active.
Yeah.
Whether it is a walk or a run, obviously I'd love them to run, but if that's not their mojo, then go kick a ball around, go play some basketball, anything. Yeah.
It is amazing how much it changes your emotions and your mental state when you start to get active.
Right now, mental anxiety, depression, it's on the rise. Right now, it's as high as it's been for a while, especially in teens and especially in teen girls. 3 out of 5 teenage girls have thought about suicide.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's an alarming number.
It is.
There are children taking their own lives.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've really got to take seriously and talk about. I think that's what I try to do, is have the teenagers talk about it. You know, not everyone wants to talk to their mom and their dad.
Of course.
Yeah. So sometimes I'm a safe spot as a coach that they can chat about it. Like, you know, how you feeling today on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Like, just have that narrative open where they can have someone to talk about it. Because they don't. I mean, as much as people talk about it, it's still a stigma, mental health. Yep. When I was growing up in England, it was a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
You didn't talk about it. You shoved it under the rug. So that's how I grew up. And that made it worse, probably. For a long time, it was like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, in this country too. I mean, that's the way it was back in the day. You didn't talk about those things.
Yeah.
And everything was always kind of swept under the rug. and not dealt with. So I do think as a society, we've improved in many ways, but now there's all these new challenges that we're faced with and that our children are faced with, that we have to kind of equip them with the tools they need to be able to overcome them.
Exactly. It's not a, it shouldn't be a thing. Like the athletes is, you know, taught to suck it up.
Yeah.
Be strong.
Right.
Don't show weakness. There's got to be a balance to that. Like, you know, you got to be able to have a conversation after the game or after the practice. You've got to be able to talk about how you actually feel and not keep it in.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And I think you and I were talking a little bit about how you get nervous before doing these, right? You said you're doing a lot of these, but you get nervous each time. And I had mentioned that Jason and I, we have a background in performance and acting. And when I first started, I was, I mean, I had so much anxiety before going out on stage. And the training that I was undergoing helped me to realize that that anxiety was something that I could use as energy. And it's the same thing in, I watch some of these young athletes when they're trying so hard and competing so hard, and suddenly their emotions will get the best of them. And it'll come out either as anger and frustration, or sometimes they're crying. It, those things, you know, many times people are like, oh, that's a bad thing, but it's really not. It's a natural thing, right? So how do we take that and harness it so that we can become better in whatever it is we're pursuing? And I think that's the thing to realize, especially with these kids, is it's not necessarily a bad thing that needs correction. It's something that you need to learn from and harness so that you can improve.
For sure. I something you said just had a flashback of watching my son at a baseball game, and there was a parent next to me screaming at his kid to do better. I mean, how much pressure is that on a little kid? Just let the kid have fun. And then you wonder why the kids are growing up with so much anxiety.
Right.
You know, that the fear of failure is something so many kids have because of their parent yelling at them at the sideline to do better.
Sure. Yeah. Or they're just the type of person who they have that innate competitiveness as well. So they don't allow themselves the ability to fail. They think it's a negative thing. I fail almost every day. You know, I mean, the key, I think, is fail fast and learn from it.
Failure isn't failure as long as you get back up.
I agree. Yeah, and for sure.
Failure is only going to help you in the long run.
Yeah. Now, are you working with athletes, like young athletes as well? Are there people that come to you that are playing other sports and they're using what you're doing to help them?
Yes.
And tell
me
about
that. I've had football players for speed and agility.
Yeah.
Tennis players for endurance.
Yeah.
Trying to list them off. But the answer is yes.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, you want to build up that endurance. If you have a 60-minute match, you got to be able to run the pitch the whole time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you guys call it a match?
Well, I do, but I mean, people here, no,
you know what I
they
mean.
Do not.
Yeah. So yes, the answer is yes. And that, you know, you've got things like basketball and football, soccer, whatever. You got to be able to move quick.
Right.
So speed and agility will help you with that.
Right. Baseball too. I think people don't realize like you need to be fast and agile in order to 100% really compete.
Those quick sprints, you got to be able to take off.
For sure. Yeah. And my boys play baseball and hockey. So hockey's another one of those sports too. I mean, it's getting quicker and quicker.
Those ice baths will help you with the hockey.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I can see my older son getting in the ice bath for sure. That's great. So let's see. You have a lot going on. You know, you have some goals to grow the business. You're still working at Orange Theory. You're still coaching St. Joe's. You know, how can people find you? I know you had mentioned Instagram, so I did want to mention what your tag is.
So it's Heidi H4 Fitness.
Okay.
That's how they can find me on Instagram. On Facebook, it's either Heidi Langan or H4 Fitness.
Okay, great. And they can reach out to you through those platforms?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you said you don't have a website any longer, right?
I don't.
Okay.
It's probably still there. Don't go to it.
Okay, gotcha.
Don't go to it.
Any email or phone number that they can reach out with?
They could email me. It's hljt43@gmail.com.
Okay, great. So, I mean, this has been just a great conversation. You know, I think it's so important for people to get out there and get active. And I do think, you know, what you're doing with helping people to, you know, set a goal for themselves and using running as a way to improve their lives is just so amazing. So I would love for us to stay connected, maybe have you back on the podcast at some point. You know, it will definitely share out the information on all of our social channels so people know where to find you.
For sure. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do a question and answer.
Yeah. For, I mean, that would be a great thing too, if we ever did like another Facebook Live or, you know, have people call in, or, you know, yeah, we're figuring out the format of this and how far we want to go with it as well. But yeah, this has been just a really great conversation. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us
today. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. Sounds of Health is brought to you by Nutmeg Insurance Advisors and recorded at the offices of Nutmeg Advisory Group. The podcast is produced by Jason Carubia and Dave McNiven with music by Rob Hames. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Your support means a lot to us, and we appreciate it when you like, subscribe, and leave a review. If you know someone who you think should be a guest on the show, please email us at soundsofhealthpodcast@gmail.com. Each week, we spotlight the stories, people, and resources that inspire and motivate others to improve their health, and we're just getting started. Help us to share these sounds, and don't keep us a secret.